listener production.
A massive edition of Footy Talk for you Thursday coming up. He's sure to join me as always, but also Jack Crisp in studio, the star from the Pies, honing in on Jim Stein's all-time games consecutive record. That's going to be massive. We'll talk about the retirement of Nathan Murphy plus Anzac Day and then go a deep dive into the big clash between the Dogs and the Saints tonight. This is all coming up on the Footy Talk podcast. Hello and welcome to Footy Talk for you Thursday. Joining me as always, my premiership teammate, the best football player in his family, Mr. Heeshaw. Welcome.
Thanks, Dale. Great introduction, and you're spot on too.
I absolutely am. You may be hearing
didn't know where
some...
you were going with the best, but in my family, that'll do.
That'll do. I got a bit stuck there. The cogs of the brain aren't working this early in the morning on a Thursday. And there was some giggling.
Yes.
As we have a guest today,
ooh,
we welcome the man who is honing in on an unbelievable record from the Magpies, Mr. Jack Crisp.
Oh, round of applause.
Welcome.
Yes.
He's clapping himself even better. Yeah. I like it.
I just really like the intro. He's quite good at it.
I'm up and about. Crisp, how are you? You've just freshly off the bye.
Yeah. No, I'm going really well. It was probably a good time for the club to have a bit of a reset. Obviously didn't start the season too well, but found a little bit of form in the last 2 weeks. But yeah, it was a good opportunity to have a little break because we travelled 3 out of the first 5 games, which is, you know, un-Collingwood-like.
Mm.
Very different, but yeah. Yeah, looking
that's
forward
right, you'll
to
be at the MCG the next 18 weeks, so don't worry about it. Is for players, with the bye, just coming off the bye, were you like me and Daisy where you see where the bye is at and then you just figure out like where you're going to go that weekend you've got off? I know you are a family man, but do you find that out and go, all right, I'm going to have a little crack here? And then I'll like get back into it and then start concentrating on footy.
Honestly,
it is a bit early on,
yeah,
in the year.
That honestly doesn't cross my mind as much anymore with
games
the wife
changed.
And kids. Yeah, so and we're starting to move our house a little bit. So I just spent the weekend packing up and moving gym equipment. So I came into Monday with a sore back anyway. So I didn't really have a weekend off.
It's not really a bye.
You said it was a reset because it was zipping three. What was the mood like? We all love Craig McRae and we saw how happy he was. We saw the players with smiles on faces running out through the banners. Did that continue that way or was it a little bit of a, hey, sharpen up and then we get back to that?
A little bit of both. Like we speak about how our environment's changed a fair bit and you want to come in, obviously you don't know if you've won or lost. It does have some kind of effect. Obviously you're never going to be able to change that. But the attitude to get better and try and figure out our best football was still there. Mindset, I would say, was still pretty strong. It was just about tinkering with little bits and pieces to figure out what's going to get us going and that chemistry and get us clicking. And then in the end, yeah, we just went back to our one word, which is our pressure. And that was our big focus for the week leading to the Brizzy game. And as you saw, it was quite up there.
It's incredible. For all the staff, for all the insight, for all the computers that we have at our disposal, the best sides are the one who bring pressure and effort, and if you do that, you win. You can talk about game plans, running patterns, till the cows come home.
Yeah.
Pressure and effort takes you a long way.
Yeah, 100% it does, and I think it leads into your kind of game system a little bit as well. Like if you're in the right spots to pressure, then your teammates are going to be in the right spots as well to play off that,
yep,
whether they're around to impact the ball or slide to defend and help your teammates, or whether they're the fat side forwards who are running up and down the wings all day, being really accountable. And then, you know, they might have a really good day where the ball gets out there that like a fair bit, or they might have, you know, a day where they're just literally running wing patterns and 14 Ks for 6 touches, which is the hard days.
It's called team pressure, Dale. So it's not just
exactly
one person, not individual pressure, it's team pressure. So one goes in the next layer and layer.
I know
like you didn't
it.
Know about much.
But mate, I revolutionised manning the mark for a while there. Remember, you know, when you didn't have the stand rule and you get up in their face and you clap around and take the corridor. I remember for the first 3 years of my career, Mick Mulhouse showed the one clip for all the hangers I took for all the goals I kicked.
It was just you on the mark.
It was me on the mark and I hated it. Like you being remembered for a smother. Thankfully, mine's moved on.
I never stood on the mark because if it was
you weren't close
50,
enough to a man.
Yeah, well, that's part of it. But if someone's having a shot, you don't want to be on the mark. You just turn around and walk away. Someone else can stand on there. That's a goal against them, not against me.
What about when you went up to the Gabba? So it was 0-3. It was season on the line. The mindset, but also yourself, you started sub.
Yeah, it was quite a different role. Obviously, it haven't been that situation for 10 years.
When did you find
10
out?
Years. Before our line meeting, like on the day before the game, before we flew up to Brizzy, yeah.
Was it tactical or did you just...
No, I didn't know, to be honest, but it was just like a conversation that went like, obviously I wasn't playing the best football, but the team really wasn't. We're just finding different ways to fit. And the coach wanted me to play the sub that way and try and find my best football. And, you know, I'm happy to do that role for the team. And
it worked. You came on and lit it up.
I still kept my same mindset. I had a great week on the track.
Yeah.
Thought I prepared really well anyway. So I was ready no matter what. But I don't like the sub. Sitting on the bench. You just want to get out there. My legs was
It's weird to pray for injuries, isn't it?
Were you a sub? Were you ever a sub?
Yeah, Bucks made me sub once.
I started as sub.
And that conversation...
It was gone the next year.
That conversation probably wasn't as pleasant as the one between you and Fly.
So tell me,
what was the pre-game message and then three-quarter time? What was Fly's message to the group, if you can remember?
Yeah, well, it was basically built off pressure.
Yeah.
The Gabba is just it's a quick deck, you know, and you can get a lot of territory from centre bounce and stoppages and stuff. So we basically wanted to go at the ball with pressure and then build our game off that. We'll have our numbers there to support and run and carry. And then if we could get it ball forward, it was obviously try and lock it in. They had good intercept defenders in Harris Andrews and I think Payne was playing as well. Yeah. And then, you know, they got an elite midfield and they got an elite forward line. So it was going to be a challenge throughout the whole night and all over the ground. But we were able to get our bang for buck from stoppages, I think, with that pressure and force lines into some dirty stoppage exits. And then we would bounce off that.
Bang.
Now, a few days ago, premiership teammate of yours retired through concussion, obviously.
Yeah.
Even watching him at his press conference, he's like the happiest man you'll ever see, like smiling and like all that. But how has he been around the club since probably last year, going through pre-season, knowing that he's had this sort of cloud over him and then leading to this decision?
He's been quite positive, to be honest. Not that I've kind of seen what goes on at home and behind those closed doors, but he's just his usual jovial, happy self at the club. Still been the guy that everyone kind of wails on a little bit in meetings and stuff.
Is he infectious to be around?
He is. Like, it's just a good attitude the way he goes about it. Like, I think Scoot and Leper and always put Murph at the front of the gags for their team meetings and stuff like that. But he was always, you know, happy as, loving it. He would give it back all the time. He was a great bloke to have around the club. And I think Fly spoke about maybe trying to find a role for him, whether it's this year or next year. They want to keep him around the club because of the type of person he is. And they're hard to find.
There's four sentences in his goodbye speech that I loved. It says, "We talk a lot about putting the player first and the athlete second. It's just nice to know we're actually living that as a club. It's comforting to know that I'll be okay and there's a lot to look forward to. A workplace that just values people for what they bring and the strengths they bring. I've been really grateful for what's been created here the past few years. I'm someone that wanted to bring people together and make this place a safe place. Hopefully I'll be remembered for that." That is, if you were the Collingwood Football Club and you were listening to that, outside or inside, you'd be going, "We have done a bloody good job to turn this joint around in 2 years.
Oh, yeah. No, it speaks volumes of where the club has gone to and the people that they've brought in to help get it to that that spot in where it's at. So I think, it's just a testament to like what Fly's done, what Ned Kelly's done, what Jeff Brown's been able to do, like from the higher up all the way down, just bringing good people and you get a great culture and you get a place where people want to come to work. Doesn't matter, you know, what the footy field's doing, people just coming in to get better and, you know, do their role, do what they're required to do and just keep finding ways to improve.
I think the way this has unfolded with, like, his retirement through concussion, I think the AFL have to look at that because no doubt he wanted to keep playing and he would have kept playing and, like, he puts his body on the line more than anyone, like kamikaze style back with the flight. But in a way it's sort of like the club and everyone around him has said, "Mate, we probably don't think it's the best thing for your health." And a few experts have come in and spoken to him about that. And then the club's got behind him and said, "We're going to look after you, mate. You're one of us, blah, blah." And so he's made a decision to retire. That is what all the
good sides should do.
And people will do now. They'll follow the footsteps of him and go, "You know what, mate? No matter what, we got your back, whatever you want to do. We obviously think this is the better path."
I should change that. That's not what good side should do. That's what every side should do.
Yeah. There was one part he mentioned yesterday in his speech as well, was about two of his best mates that he lived with. And when he told them, the first things they said was, you know, "About time."
Right.
You know? So they're not saying, "Oh, come on, mate, you should still be playing." Like, they're what's best for him. Like already, they're not even thinking about the career or whatever. They just want him to be healthy and happy and be able to move on and live a great life.
Yeah, no, we congratulate Nathan on his awesome career, premiership player, and became a real critical part of that back line down there. So he will obviously have some fun in the next 6 months, I believe. I think he's off to Europe for the summer. So that's certainly a well-earned trip.
Yep. So he's timed it perfectly.
He's timed it absolutely perfect. Signed on for another year, gets a payout, and then piss off to Europe. What about in a couple of weeks' time, Anzac Day, the biggest game on the footballing calendar. What do you guys do about that now in terms of your preparation for it? You'll be coming off a 6-day break.
5 days, I think it
five.
Is.
Five?
Yeah, I think we're going Saturday to Thursday.
Yuck.
Yeah. So I think we've got play Saturday. I think we'll have the Sunday, Monday off to just do your own recovery. And you can come into the club. We've got a good setup there if you need. But I think then we'll have our main Tuesday, captain's run Wednesday. And obviously play Thursday. I'm not quite sure as to what the program will kind of look like for those few days leading up, but more often than not, we put something on for like the young guys with better education, and sometimes they go over to the memorial and kind of have a bit of education around that. I know we did that as a full club last year, but yeah, there'll be something in the works, I'm sure.
Yeah, Flyaways has done things differently, so you assume you'd have something. We used to have the same. Mick always took the first and second year boys to the Shrine early in the morning. He did the players at one point, but I was probably getting a bit early on Anzac Day.
5 a.m.
To then go and play. But for you, you've played in a fair few now. I think it's, apart from preliminary final and grand final, the biggest game of the year. What are your thoughts around that, and how much do you enjoy the atmosphere around that and the build-up and like everyone just talking about that game?
Yeah, 100%. No, it's definitely my favourite outside of the finals as well. I think ever since my first experience in it, it's just been massive. And I think last year was the biggest crowd there ever was for Anzac Day. I think it was like 94,000 or 95,000. So it's just unreal how the clubs have been able to come together like that. But then not only that, but just pay respects to obviously all the past veterans, and then for all the club to be involved and those moments where you're out there with the last post, just witnessing it all, and then have that minute silence where you actually can soak it all in. Just where you are in life and how lucky we are to be able to be in this situation and play in this game. It's definitely the best one on the calendar for me, and I look forward to it every year.
The MCG, when you go out there and there's no one there, is an eerie place. It becomes more eerie when there's 100,000 or close to, and everyone, and rightfully so, shows their respects and goes dead quiet.
Yeah.
You know, sort of gives you goosebumps thinking about it because it is a moment where you stop and you reflect and you pay your respects for men and women who did serve and are currently serving. And the last post echoing through the place, and then you just have your chest out. You just want to go berserk.
Yeah, as soon as that the siren goes, and then just the roar of the crowd is like goosebumps every time, and then you just kind of sprint back, you're just warming up, and you've got goosebumps, and you're just like, oh, how bloody good is this? Like, this is amazing.
And it's good. Like, Mick always judged players on big games, and
that's why he liked me.
We played good in a big game, and you know what? Some people win Anzac Day medals.
Have you won a medal?
I've had a couple of votes in my time.
Have you?
No medal.
It's a big effort to win an Anzac Day medal. Like, it's pretty good. It's a big achievement by whoever's done that.
Did you win one or something?
You got one.
I probably should have got two, but one will do.
Tell us about James Hurd.
Yeah, well, if you want to go through every single stat I had, I could, but I won't.
This isn't about you. We'll keep our focus on the crisper.
Mick actually said, but this is like big game, and he just said, I was playing halfback. He said, if James Hurd goes forward, you play on him and you just beat him. Wherever he goes, you go. I'm like, all right. So James Hurd's won 15 Anzac Day medals. So at least he's going to lead me to the ball at some point. Played on him for the whole game. Had a reasonable game. We won the Anzac Day medal. So,
I thought you were going to tell me you didn't get anywhere near it.
We touched on your record. It's still intact because you did start as the sub. You're up to 219 consecutive games.
That's a lot of games.
What's that? 7 to get to Adam Uze and another 25 to roll Jimmy Steins for the all-time consecutive record. Are you getting there? How do you feel?
What do you mean? Of course I'm getting there.
Yeah. but do you worry about
how
this?
How do you do it?
Yeah.
Nah.
Surely at some point, like when Fly said, I'm starting sub, did you have a thought go, yeah, shit, does this mean the streak continues?
No, I knew it counts as a game. Yeah. But then it kind of makes you think, go, oh, maybe I might not be exactly where I thought I was going to be in the lineup, which makes us swing to go a little bit.
That's a pulse on your shrimp, though.
It's a talent. but anyway, I would be lying if I said it didn't cross my mind.
Yeah.
But hopefully, yeah, I've.
Is it genetics or is it preparation?
I've always given a little bit of credit to mum and dad for genetics.
Yeah.
But I do, yeah, a lot of it's preparation, a lot of it's the recovery and time I put into my body these days. And you, as you do, you put more in as you get older because you can't just roll out of bed and go for a run. But yeah, I put a pair of work into pre-training, days off, just looking after myself.
Outside of the 95,000 at the G for Anzac Day, the other biggest crowd they've had was Taylor Swift. You are a Swiftie in a Swiftie household. You went along?
I was good. I did.
Did you enjoy it?
I did. It was a great show. It was weird sitting in the stands, you know, watching.
Watching.
Yeah, watching. I don't think I've ever done that. Not since I was a kid.
What's 219 divided by season, T? That's how long he hasn't done it for. Yeah.
No, it was a good experience. I was there with Lila. She kind of ran out of gas right before the end, so I got out just before she finished.
Perfect, though.
Yeah, so I didn't have to spend an hour trying to fight through the crowd to get to the car. But, yeah, it was worth it because when I got to the car, Lila said she had the best time, so that's all I needed to hear.
I think there was a few people in that boat that had the best time because that was a serious concert. Do you think that she'll come back?
Taylor? Oh, mate, you're making, was it? Over a Miller show or whatever she was doing, and
it's a pretty good day rate.
Oh,
hourly rate's even better.
3 hours, yeah, mil bucks, but way over a million. But yeah,
so on the back of that, so how did you get a ticket
through the club?
Did you actually?
Yeah. We because I missed out on it all, but then the club sent an email out saying they were giving a few tickets to sell. So I emailed back quickly and got me two.
I went from father of the year to nearly worst father of the year.
Because you didn't get one?
No, well, I got them, but I miscommunicated with the person I was purchasing them off. And I thought it was for the Friday show, but it was the Saturday show. And I was in Bali at the time, and my sister was taking my daughter along, and she called me. She goes, these tickets are for tomorrow night, which isn't the worst result because you could always go back home and come back. Better than the Saturday for the Friday. I then rang the lady and said, oh my God, I've stuffed up. I'm in Bali. She goes, don't worry. Tell them to enjoy the upgrade. So they went from N34 second level to row G bottom level.
What?
Yeah, father of the year. Not what you know. It is who you know. Hey, CRISPR, we wish you all the very best. The Pies 3 and 2. Just what actually?
Two and three, sorry.
Yeah, they were.
Thanks for bringing it up again.
Anyway. No worries. was it a good time to reset? Like salvage the Brisbane game, fall in against the Hawks. Have you done a reflecting as a group on how the rest of the year wants to look?
We had a bit of a check last Friday about some certain statistics and what we kind of want to rank ourselves on and where we are at, to the rest of the competition.
Tell us what they were.
But then you can see the differences from when we played our football and what the results are and. In these areas where it's a stoppages or forward half football, whatever it was, compared to when we're not playing the Collingwood brand, like how hard it is and the different, it's chalk and cheese.
It certainly
big
is.
Big game this week.
Massive game this week and then a bigger one the week after. CRISPR, you are an absolute star. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me.
You can jog off as we start to look and go into full game mode after the break. Here's a couple of words from our sponsors. Thanks for sticking around to listen to the Footy Talk. This is your podcast, the latest news, interviews and analysis from the world of AFL. And it is time to go full game mode now as we look ahead to tonight's big clash between the Saints and the Western Bulldogs. Western Bulldogs 11th on the ladder, the Saints 12th. Saints very good in the last quarter against your old mob Heath, kicking the last six. And the Western Bulldogs, well, they were as stinky as it gets against the Bombros.
Yeah, it's a tough game to pick because you actually do not know what you're going to get. Two teams going about things very differently. Bulldogs inconsistently as humanly possible and the Saints consistent as humanly possible. Always in amongst it, always trying, always competing because that's what sort of Ross Lyon's teams do. Max King out is a big one. Went from being 12 months to playing. which is a good sign, but then also on the other side you've got the Bulldogs got Libba out with concussion, who's a massive out. He's very important for that team, especially he probably would have gone head-to-head with Jack Steele.
The numbers he put up the other week against the Cats in Gather Round were absolutely phenomenal. What did you make of how they handled the fact that he collapsed and they said it was a rolled ankle?
Yeah, it's an interesting. Was it delayed rolled ankle? Was it? It just sort of kicked in about 20 seconds later, and then he fell over. That actually hurt. Before.
That game we speak of against the Cats: 35 disposals, 9 tackles, 1 goal, 28 contested possessions, 10 score involvements. He has become a critical part of that side, especially because they've been allowing Bont to go forward a little bit. I think he may be carrying some sort of injury, so now he's going to have to get in the midfield again and plough the field.
Yeah, and he's going to be. Like I said, he's going to be up against Jack Steele. Well, Libba would have gone head-to-head with him. They're two hard nuts. And you're you know what? They go head-to-head there and hopefully you come out even. But now Bont's going to have to go in there. Bont, probably a little bit more classier, a little bit more outside than Jack Steele. But yeah, it's a tough game to pick because you just do not know what you're going to get from the Bulldogs.
Do you think the Saints are going to try and bore the Bulldogs out of it? We know the way the Dogs play when they're up and going. And yes, they've been inconsistent, but the one thing you know is if they're flying, they're trying to pump it inside forward 50 quickly. They're trying to kick a massive score. They're happy for it to be a shootout. Ross Lyon won't allow that. I think he may be a chance to frustrate the Western Bulldogs into error.
Yeah, well, you can do that. And the structure behind the ball of the Saints is very good. The back line of the Bulldogs isn't great. That's why I think having King out.
It's getting better, though.
Yeah, but having Liam, King out is
that
huge.
Helps. Yeah,
it's
Liam,
huge.
Jones and Bukal Karmas have been awesome down there.
Yeah, it's just a big out for the Saints who do find it hard to score, probably because they're a little bit more defensive-minded. But the Bulldogs list and the Bulldogs team, like you said, up and running. Mm. They literally can do anything. And if they get rolling and momentum's an amazing thing in football, Dale, it's hard to stop when you get going.
If
they do get going, then they could put up a big total and the Saints won't be able to keep up with them.
29-point loss to Essendon after Essendon lost by near on 70 to Port Adelaide the week before. We are seeing, and as you said, rightfully so, the Saints are consistent. You can know what they're going to bring. The Western Bulldogs, they have to respond. And what we've seen this year, if teams get a slapping, usually they come out the next week and are more than competitive.
Yeah, but is it fake? Is that a bit fake?
Because every second week it's the same result. It's a rise purely on the back of mediocrity.
Yeah, and obviously the coach is under the pump. He's a bit confused about whether they're rebuilding or not rebuilding and what was wrong with Libba and all of the above. So he is under the pump, no doubt. He'll get them rolled up and ready to roll and it's the first game of the round. It's Thursday night footy, and you wouldn't think that both teams would have been 11 and 12 at the start of the year. But they are. That's where we're at. And I think we did it last week. We wrote off a few teams. Whoever loses tonight, are they out the door?
Speak for yourself, although I think I put a line through Adelaide and you then put a line through Brisbane. So whoever we tip, maybe go the opposite way. Righto, who's winning and why? For me, it's the Western Bulldogs. I think they've got too many threats going forward. I think they'll have too much of the footy in the midfield. Max King being out is going to be a huge one. I just see them falling in.
I think they'll win comfortably. I think it'll be 24-ish points. Bont was a bit quiet last week. I think
he's going to have a massive one.
I think he'll have a big one.
Yep.
And he needs to for them to win. He needs to put them on his shoulder and carry them across the line because when he's like the team, when he's up and running, they're hard to stop. And he's that guy that can kick goals as a midfielder, which we love.
We do love that. I love the fact that we're on the same page. Dogs for Heath and I tonight. Good luck if you're going along and enjoy your weekend's action of footy. There are some cracking games. And on Monday, Abby and Jay will be back to unpack all the action from the weekend. If you're listening on Spotify, hit the bell to be notified when we drop a new episode. This has been the Footy Talk Podcast. Bye-bye for now.
Listener.